2 or 3 years.
The Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now we've reached the 6th week of Easter. And we're about to exit out of the Easter season, go into now the season of Sulaqa, the season of Ascension, the season now that follows the church, that Jesus now has taught us everything, right? We're still on this journey of life, right? But he's taught us a great deal of things about ourselves as we've gone through Lent, as we've gone through the Easter season, as we've gone through these moments of self-discovery by putting ourselves to the side and really being able to focus more and more on who Jesus is in our life and what it is that he's at work in our life, right? And so here we are exiting the Easter season. And as we leave the Easter season, here is Jesus who's been unpacking things. And this is the last chapter that he gives us. This is the last gospel that he gives us today, and how worthy of a gospel it is to focus on. In this gospel, in this prayer that Jesus has, this high priestly prayer, we call that Jesus, who is the high priest, who now is going to offer himself up to the Father. This is given right after the Last Supper in the upper room. That as he comes to offer himself on our behalf, Jesus makes a prayer to the Father. It's the longest discourse that we have of Jesus speaking, right, in the Gospels. But in this, we can learn a program, in a certain sense, a kind of plan of action on how it is that we go out to evangelize, on how it is that we go out to really understand the seeds of the Christian life, the seeds of Christian spirituality that is put into this prayer. And the more we turn to it, the more we analyze it, the more we continue to really kind of look at John chapter 17, the more we're astounded by what it is that Jesus says. I want us to just dissect just a few of the themes that are happening here. Yeah? A few of the themes that are happening here that I think are very important as we go forward during these next few seasons of the church season. First thing Jesus says towards the middle of his prayer, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so they may be one just as we are one. Protect them in your name so that they may be one just as we are one. Here is God who desires something. That as Jesus gives us this prayer, he's inviting us to a very life. He's inviting us to something more. He's inviting us out of our earthly state of mind. He's inviting us out, in a certain sense, of this natural world and into a supernatural world, into the very life of God. So that how it is that me and you are one, now it is that they may be one as well. Why is it that we come? God, in his very nature, is love. And because in his very nature he is love, he is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's this community of persons, and he invites us into that very life of a community of persons because he is love. His love can't be contained to himself. And so now what does he do? What's the whole point of this? What's the point of the Christian message? That Jesus Christ has come down in order to take us to the Father, in order to gather us in as one church, in order to gather us in as one people. And this is what Jesus means by here. This is why we meet each and every Sunday. This is why we pray together as a community, to be gathered in as one. This is why, when it is that there are divisions in the church, does it hurt Jesus? Because he doesn't want to see us broken up. He wants all Christians to pray together as one family. And so when there are divisions from sin, this is what hurts the body of Christ. And so Jesus here today is saying he's trying to gather us in as one, that he invites us into the very life of God, right? Not just kind of this ordinary life, not just here I am, I'm going through the Christian life, and when I die, I'll go to heaven. I'll say, what is heaven? Heaven is this very invitation to share in the life of God, that we are not meant to just stay as lowly humans, but as we say in the Mass, as we pray in the Mass, now it is that Jesus reaches out his hand and God the Father lifts us up. That's more than to just be called a son or daughter of God. But now we are called to partake in the very life of God himself. That's what happens when we receive the Eucharist. That the life of God now is intertwined with our own lives. Beautiful. You can do a whole homily on that. I can speak to you for a half an hour more on that, but I won't, right? I'll move on, right? The next thing he says, I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I speak this in the world so they may share my joy completely. I speak this so that the joy of me that I bring, of the joy of Jesus Christ, the joy of God the Father, might be now more manifest in you. I speak this now So that it is that Jesus Christ, what it is that he's come to bring, is this joy and peace that nothing in this world can rob, that nothing in this world can take away from. Beautiful. I think we don't realize it at times. I think it goes over our heads. I think sometimes we're just so kind of busy with life and busy with the world that we don't realize that what the Christian life is all about is this great joy. That it begins with this great joy, that it continues with this great joy, and that it never ends with everlasting joy. Beautiful. Someone once asked Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas Aquinas was a saint. He lived around 700-800 years ago. He is known as one of the greatest philosophers in the church, not just the church, but of all of history, right? He brings back Aristotle. Anyways, it's the nerd in me talking, right? Here is Thomas Aquinas, who was once asked, again, great theologian, what does God do all day? What he answers? He enjoys himself. What does that mean? What does God do all day? What a brilliant answer. He enjoys himself. That in God's goodness, he is able to rest. In his supreme goodness, in his goodness that we can't even begin to comprehend, to imagine, that he begins to really just rest in his own goodness, and he takes infinite delight in it. Infinite amount of joy. And as we know, that when it is that someone is in a joyful mood, you can't keep that joy to yourself. Not at all. If I have a joy about me, if I have a happiness about me, logic is going to say that I'm going to go out into the world and I am going to spread that joy, I'm going to spread that goodness. I can't keep it to myself, but it naturally diffuses. It naturally goes out to all whom I meet. The same goes for God. The God in his infinite goodness, in his infinite love, cannot keep it to himself, but now it pours into creation. Now it pours onto all of us. Now it is that he sends his Son Jesus. The Father sends the Son in order to gather us all in as one and for us to be able to share in that everlasting joy. That's it. That's what Christianity is. Everything we do in life is meant to be in service of that joy. Why do we go to confession? Why are we so hard on ourselves in discipline and fasting and things that? Why? Why do we discipline ourselves by praying, by coming to Mass? Because it is in service of that joy. It is in seeking of that joy. And once we have that everlasting peace, once it is that we attain this peace that Jesus brings us, there is nothing else that we desire. Because that is the Christian life. But it takes hard work to get to it. It takes, as we've seen, a death to self to be able to be resurrected. That's what he's getting. Jesus continues, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. St. John, whenever he uses this word, it means one of two things. It's in a positive sense, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right, that he might be able to win for us the rewards of eternal life. And so it's in that positive sense, that God loves the world. In the other sense, it's how it is that we live in the world. It's in the negative sense. That which hinders you, that which sometimes disrupts God's plan, that here is God's plan for your life in order to take you up and to invite you now into a higher life with him, into a higher life, to share in his very life. Here is God's plan for you to be saved, and yet here is the world that hinders you. Here is the world that sometimes influences, and here is the flesh, and here are these things, and here is this constant battles that I have with the world that tries to entice you with the culture, with the leanings, or whatever these things might be. All these things that we fall into a victim of. In every generation, the world has a way of somehow sneakily going in there and changing God's plan for people. That's what we're constantly at war with. That's what Jesus gets at. But now he has given us the word, he has given us everything it is that we need to succeed and to attain eternal life, that he has given us the very words of God that come down from heaven, and now he shares it among us, and here we are as Christians trying to bring it into our hearts, trying to dwell in it, and here is the world that constantly tries to entice us. Here is the world that constantly tries to bring us down. Here is the world that constantly tries to make us feel ashamed of our Christianity. Ashamed of following Jesus. You see, my brothers and sisters, if you go into Christianity and you think, oh, this is going to be great, everyone's going to love me if I'm a Christian. Well, it's not the reality of life. Because the road of a Christian, what does it lead to? If you think the cross is something that is enjoyable, think again. If you think the cross is something that is easy, think again. If you think that everyone's going to love you because you're... think again. It's only getting harder in today's world. How many times do I even hear from kids in middle school and high school that I'm too ashamed to pray before meals? They want to. It's in their heart. They want to not be ashamed to pray before meals. Something as simple as that. But it's very difficult to show a witness because of how it is that you're going to be looked at with others. In your own lives, how difficult is it to share Jesus with others? Here is this word that you've been receiving. And now how difficult is it with that one family or whatever it might be to just invite them to pray? To just invite them to just say, I'm going to pray for you. Very simple things. Even in the workplace, how difficult is it to pray with one another, to pray for your coworkers, to pray for these things? Why do we let it get to us? How do we evangelize? There's always a way in your daily life, whether you're a student, whether you're a parent, whether you're at work, whatever it might be. There's ways in which we can share the good news of Jesus, the word that He's given us. There was, Winston Churchill once said, that a man has enemies. Good. That means he stood for something. You're going to bring about enemies. Bring about the right enemies. Those who hate you for your Christianity, sure. It's going to happen, if it hasn't already happened. Take a stand. And when you take a stand and people start to hate you, that means that's good, because it is that you stand for something in your life. Don't just go with the flow. Don't just be dead and go along with the river. Swim against the current. Be that fish which is truly alive and swims against the currents of life, swims against the currents of these things. That's what it means to be truly alive. Don't just go along with me. Don't just go along with society, but truly be alive and swim against society. Yes, it's difficult, but it's well worth it. But as Jesus says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but I ask that you protect them from the evil one. Do not ask that you take them out of the world, but I ask that you protect them from the evil one. The church, me and you, this is where we come together to worship the one true God. This is where we come together to receive the Eucharist. But this is not where the church begins. All of us together are the church. The church never shies away from what's going on in society. The church never shies away from how dark society gets, but rather we don't just hide and cower and come here on Sundays where it's our safe haven and then we'll see you next Sunday. That's not how it goes. Not at all. The church has never just been on the defensive. It's always been on the offense. It's always been in the fight. It's always been there in the middle of society, transforming society. And has done it countless times in the past 2,000 years. And God willing, for another 2,000 years, it will continue to do the same. But how do we transform? How do we transform society? Jesus says, be afraid. Go forward. Don't be afraid. Continue to evangelize. Don't be afraid, but continue to share the word of God. And He tells them, sanctify. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify. To make holy. He's going to make you holy. He's been making you holy during the season of Lent, during the season of Easter. He's been making you holy. He's been teaching you more about Himself. Now the question is, do we keep it to ourselves? Or now that we've been listening to His truth, we've been made holy in His truth, we've been a people who are set apart from the rest of the world, what do? Do we hide? Or do we go forward, transforming the culture, one soul at a time, in your daily life? That's what He's getting. This is the seeds of the Christian life. This is the seeds of Christian spirituality. That we go forward. We build together a foundation in Jesus. In our own lives. So that as we go forward, as we go out into the world, everyone it is who encounters us, this is truly a people who've been sanctified by something. What have they been sanctified by? Jesus Christ and His Word. Jesus Christ and the Word He's come to bring to us. That's what He's getting. That's what He means to us. Want a program for how it is to really change the world? John chapter 17. Read it. A beautiful prayer. It's the prayer of Jesus on our behalf. It's a prayer of Jesus to the Father, and teaches us what it means to truly be Christian. Teaches us what it means to have the foundation of Jesus, that we might be able to go out, and that same truth, the way, the truth, and life that we have been living out, the way, the truth, and life that we have been following, that we might be able to go out into the world to evangelize with that same truth. So that everyone might know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen?